Okay, hey. This is the Bachelor Masters podcast. EZR and Caitlin, you don't want to talk about Afghanistan. You don't want to talk about Texas. You don't want to talk about the big recall election here in California yesterday. So I guess we'll just get right to it and talk about Bachelor in Paradise.
Craig, you're always trying to make us feel our depression more deeply.
That's how I alleviate my depression, see? Is I bestow it on others.
Okay.
Ooh, it's like the ring.
Ooh, it is like the ring.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell everyone how horrible things.
How horrible who are?
Everything.
Oh, I don't know. The recall election went favorably for the Gavin Newsom governor, so that's good. Let's see. What else is good in the world?
It didn't. I would argue that Larry Elder just upped his profile so much.
Right.
Because he was very famous to me when I was in high school. I used to listen to him every day.
You used to listen to Larry Elder?
Yes.
In high school?
Yes.
Okay.
And I can tell you that I've dropped his name in the last 20 years, and not until the last 3 months has anyone ever outside of like people who grew up in Southern California ever heard his name before. Hmm. So
yeah, maybe.
And even then, you know, I have a really a friend of mine whose parents are very conservative, and I was like, oh, you know, Larry Elder. He's like, who? Until this election. So who is the real winner here?
Right.
You know?
I voted for the pinup lady who's like 80 years old.
Angeline.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did they announce how that vote went? Because I only know that
she got more votes than Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, well, I saw that she only got 1% Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, but Angeline got more votes than Caitlyn Jenner.
How many votes did Angeline get? Do you know the percentages?
I mean, she got less than 1% too, but it was still a good chunk. It's still like 25,000. I mean, at last check for me, which was at 60% or whatever in the morning. Unrelated. Who cares? I guess.
Oh, I have a somewhat related fact to share with all of you that I'd been thinking about. So, EZR, you mentioned, you know, unless you grew up in Southern California, you wouldn't have known Larry Elder, right? I know some folks have been wondering, James Bonsall, James the Box Man.
Yes, with the slicked back hair.
Yes, that his Chiron had always said he was from La Jolla, but he has an accent that is puzzling for La Jolla.
He's definitely not from La Jolla.
He's not. He lives in La Jolla. He lives there now. I do know where he is from now. He's a native New Yorker, a New York City East Coast type, like a
an East Coast New Yorker.
He grew up in Rye, which is actually the same county that I grew up in, but it's further south in like the much more affluent part than where I grew up. And he, like me, attended a State University of New York or SUNY school, but he went to SUNY Cortland, which is like kind of upstate-ish, where I went further, closer to the city. So what I'm assuming is happening here is that his parents must, like my parents, as we saw with the mom minute, have strong New York accents, and he has picked up some things from them.
Well, I'm glad you bring him up, because everyone kept talking about the Point of Paradise, and I, the whole time they were talking about that, I kept thinking, well, the Point of Paradise is obviously to embarrass James. Like the whole thing was just so cringy for him. And I'm guessing now that you tell me all that, even though it made sense all along, that's why he's so red and burned looking, because he's in a climate doesn't belong in.
Yeah, he belongs in the suburbs of New York City. He does not belong in Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs like
La Jolla,
bankers,
which is the same.
Financial managers to hang out with. Stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Should we start with Brendan Piper? Because here's why I mention this. Because Bachelor podcasts, and I don't listen to any unless you guys tell me specifically to listen to this one, you know, a one-off episode, tend to be so redundant, though. And I don't think we should say, we should add too much that wasn't already said on the beach, because they said everything we said last week.
I say that all the time. Thank you very much. I'm constantly saying that we can't talk about things that have already been discussed by Bachelor Nation, or at least we need a different spin on it.
It's not about Bachelor Nation. I just don't want to repeat the same stuff that we've been saying all along, that even we've been saying all along before they said it. And the only thing that we should just add to whatever we saw, did anyone, I mean, I guess the lesson is don't cross Demi, right? She was the ringleader, not Joe. That's why everyone's scared of her.
Yeah. She did organize and then was sort of like, Joe, you want to take point on the talking?
It had little to do with Natasha. It was about Demi being slighted.
Okay, so here's a question. Why did Natasha get a producer pity rose and Jasenia did not get a producer pity rose?
It's because Natasha has that Bachelor franchise sponsored podcast. Jasenia doesn't have a podcast with them, but Becca does, Grocery Store Joe does with Natasha. So I'm assuming they wanted her to have more of a storyline. It was, when Wells started talking about someone whose whole journey had been ruined because they'd spent it focusing on one person, I knew it was Natasha. But it did feel slightly unfair to, like, basically every other woman who is going home to be like, you deserve another chance. These ladies have used all theirs up.
James is the real Natasha. He's being used for a rose every week. You know? Yeah.
So James is like, I think Aaron said that he was like, James starts over every Monday with a new relationship because it basically just cycles through. Like, he finally thinks he's met somebody who's interested in him, but they just go off with somebody else.
Yeah. So is this enough for Bachelor Nation to feel like Natasha is even, and like, not only got what she, or like in lawyer terms, you know, got made whole again?
No, she's gonna need yet another guy, because
does she feel better? Right, so people helped to embarrass Brendan, who slighted her. She got a producer rose. Tons of airtime, tons of positive airtime, and her pick of whoever walks down the beach this late in the game. Is that plus one?
No, because apparently she deserves love. So until she finds the love that she deserves, she's not going to.
That people, the general viewership, will want her to have like a happy ending of some sort. They'll want her to meet another guy and maybe they leave together, even if they don't get engaged or something, but like it goes well. They don't break up on the show. And she did not fully get her choice of men entirely, because the first guy down was Blake Monar, who was the other Blake on the Claire Tayshia season. Only the Claire one, I guess. He got cut before Tayshia came in, but he's the reason why they were always using the full last names of Blake Moynes and Blake Monar in the beginning of that season, because they're both Blake M's. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't just do the first initial. Well, that guy didn't want to take her on a date. He wanted Tia. And then she goes out with Dr. Joe, you know, my beloved Dr. Joe. And it basically sounded like it wasn't going to go anywhere, because he's such close friends with Brendan that, like, now that he knows Brendan was the one that, like, Natasha had this thing with, he's not going to pursue her anymore.
Is Dr. Joe still beloved to you?
Oh, it's hard to say, because I get his point of, like, if someone has dated a close friend of yours, and dated is really kind of in quotes here because they weren't you know, they kissed once, as far as we know. It does sort of give you, like, a weird, you have to think about it, at least for a moment, to be like, should I do that? Or no?
Wait. I didn't feel that was his problem with Natasha. His problem was that Brendan treated her badly, therefore, Natasha does not like Brendan, one of his close friends. Not that they dated, but that he slighted her.
I don't think it's as much that her thing was with Brendan. It was that Brendan slighted her. She's still very mad at Brendan. And from the way Joe was reacting on that date, when she asked, like, oh, did you know that he was seeing Piper? I'm pretty sure Joe knew, based on his facial expressions and, like, his slight
his face. His face was just mouth shut, trying not to say anything. And I like his face because it reminded me of when someone says something, you know, you're on a first date and your politics clearly don't align and you're just like, welp, no. But you have like a
that face was clearly funny. Expressing it was like he knew a lot of things, and now that he knows that Natasha was the one that Brendan was using for a rose in the meantime, it's going to be too weird to try to pursue it, because if they do really like each other and then they like want to actually date, well, obviously they're never going to hang out with his friends group that includes Brendan and Piper.
She might still, I mean, other than Dr. Joe came down and it's not going to work out for her, because as she puts it, there's a Brendan cloud over her, although that's not the reason why. She still doesn't have, she didn't get like enough to make up for what Brendan did to her, according to Bachelor Nation, which is, I feel like it's more than enough.
No,
she needs to fall in love. And well, that needs to happen.
We've seen in the previews, she's making out with Ed Wastebrot, Bennett's best friend from that season.
Oh, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah.
Which is an interesting, if that ends up being the guy that is like Natasha's happy ending, is a pretty funny pairing, honestly.
Well,
who's Ed? I have no idea.
Oh, the guy that broke into Chris Harrison's, know who Ed is. He broke into Chris Harrison's apartment at 2 a.m. and drank wine with him.
Yes.
And he was just kind of a weird Claire guy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He was never going to make it the full way on that show, but apparently he was good friends with Bennett, and he did have that fun moment with Chris Harrison in the hotel room where they drank wine together. So that's what he's known for.
You must have read his name somewhere, because there's no way you saw the previews for next week and were like, oh, that's Ed, the wine guy.
Oh, no, I absolutely recognized his face and name from the previous.
Really? He has one of the most distinctive faces, Craig.
He is not a forgettable face, I would say.
He is not another broski.
He looks a little different.
Didn't he have meat on his face? I mean, just like Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy. He really is.
He has meat on his face at some point.
Yeah, there was like an after the previews, you know, funny little skit at the end, or they're not skits, they're just like outtakes, bloopers or whatever, and he put meat on his face, but it looked like his face anyway. That's not the point. Okay. He is very recognizable. When you see him next week, you will remember Craig. Okay, before we move on to you liked him, before we move on to this week's stuff,
you guys aren't helping my depression here. So far nothing has made me leap out. I get to live another 30 years on this planet.
Be ready for a little bit to feel the same way for a little longer. Because I just want to bring up that Chris from last week. So Chris has done a few things. He got kicked off from Jesenia season. He's done a few things that to me were mega red flags, obviously, other than the fact that he like dumped Jesenia and did all that horrible stuff that's not exactly Bachelor in Paradise rules. And my first kind of tip off to him using co-opting woke language to kind of be on the side of right when I didn't feel like he was right was when he said that, people accuse Asian men of being effeminate, and that is not what people were honing in on. They were honing in on his voice. So on his IG story, he did the same thing Brendan and Piper did. Well, he did the same thing Brendan did, where he apologized, but his apology came with another identity politics wash that was totally unfair. And I just want to make sure we put this in the record. I thought this was so interesting. So he specifically says that it's a huge level of disrespect for grown men to shut a woman down when she's trying to use her voice. You two know she deserves an apology. We cannot have a culture where we silence women on this show, end quote. Now, if you guys remember that scene, Alana goes, can I say something? And they go, no, we're right. Chewing out Chris right now. That is not silencing women, right?
No, it is not. It's a different... He's using the phrase to try to put himself back on the good foot, right? Of being like, I'm a person who recognizes that women need to be listened to. This is language I've heard elsewhere. And it's like, yes, but that conversation where, and it wasn't just two people. It sounded like most of the beach was like, no, Alana, we don't want to hear it.
Because it had nothing to do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Because she had really nothing to add that would have change the situation.
She had just come in that day. She didn't have the information about what had Chris said to Jesenia or whatever else.
Yeah. So, you know, he got called out and he was trying to apologize, but of course, tinge it with a little bit of, look, maybe we're both right and wrong. And that is so manipulative. For him to do that now twice, to identity politics wash his little...
I didn't realize we were moving on to Tammy.
No, we're not.
Oh, you said manipulative.
Craig, and he
what
he
on
got,
earth? We're not on Tammy yet.
Jesenia and Tammy actually remind me of each other. Not that it has anything to do with what you're saying. But I love that he got called out by someone as clear-headed as Jesenia, who can... totally put him in his place, because this guy, if he had gotten any farther, he is dangerous. He is super dangerous. So anyway, just want to put that on the record. Go ahead, go crazy on whatever you're gonna
don't
say.
You have a clip or something of Chris?
I have a clip. Well, okay, so on the flip side of that, he, because last week I told you guys that one thing that, okay, well, Joel made fun of Chris's voice, which is obviously kind of a... what do you want to call it? I don't know. Here it is.
I know this is gonna piss a lot of people off.
Dude, nobody cares.
That's
nobody
Joe
needs to hear your speech.
Making fun of Chris. So you guys didn't hear it, but now we heard it. That's all. Go ahead.
Yeah.
This week.
All right. So, Chris.
Craig, why don't you talk about your least favorite person in the Bachelor franchise? Because you text us about her. All the time. What are your thoughts,
who, Tammy?
On Tammy?
I just love that she's gotten her comeuppance.
Oh, come on. You play the game and you lose. Like, I don't think it's a big deal.
She's
fine.
You want to talk about manipulative behavior? Her saying that Thomas is her best friend? What was that about?
On the beach. That makes sense. I don't know how that's, like, not... I
you're
don't know
my
how
best friend. She did not qualify.
I thought it was a little weird that
I mean, she was
did
playing
say
like,
the best friend move because
she was reaching. She was
looking
she was
for things
manipulating.
She said. She was
how
trying to find something
to
justify, like, why does she feel so deeply about this thing? But he's clearly not her best friend even on the beach because she has all of her ladies there, you know?
Right.
Well, so, I think she needs it in, like, you're the guy that I'm hooking up with, so obviously you're going to be the best friend. But, I mean, okay, look, Craig.
Yes.
I got a good example. I cut out a good example. This is unedited footage of Tammy. It's a voiceover that they used in the episode, and they obviously pieced it together because producers producers want people to feel the way you feel. This is, they don't like her either, or they don't want to make her look good either.
If I knew it was going to end up like this, then yeah, I would have not chose Thomas right there over Aaron. I look like a fool, and I don't want to go home.
I did not edit that at all. That is what aired live. And if anyone wants to go check, that's at the like 30, around the 30 minute mark. So that was too much for me.
Yeah, the like the volume of her voice and like the tone changed in between certain words. That is interesting. I feel like we already know the producers love to play up the Aaron and Thomas hatred. They love it. So you know that they were going to want something of Tammy being like, I've made a gigantic mistake by choosing Thomas over Aaron. How could I? You know?
Yeah.
Right.
How so they had her say it, even if she didn't actually say it. Because it seemed like, I don't know, she seemed like she was into Aaron, but her reaction to Thomas was so much more. I mean, I think we probably also have to take into account that obviously she was drinking and it was her birthday. So she was not happy about all of this going down at that time. But yeah.
And she might have been fine, because then she ate the cake, as you do when you are drinking too much. You eat some carbs and you feel better.
Yeah. The cupcake in the limo. That was a. And yeah, there's a voiceover as the limo's going away that she's like, oh, this is good.
Yeah, so maybe she's not. So, I'm happy to hear that she's not as broken up as she drunkenly stated. Because
if it was anyone else, you would call her manipulator. That's all.
What do you mean if it was anyone else? What did she manipulate?
She's trying to manipulate Thomas. It didn't work though.
But that's a very normal reaction, and I felt like Thomas was up front too. Like I didn't feel like either one of them did something wrong there. That. Tammy was trying to keep him. He was trying to be straightforward. And, okay, that's life. Like, it felt, that is a breakup that I don't feel either side is really trying to win over the other, you know, oh, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to trick you into this or something. It felt realistic.
I think Thomas did a good job in that breakup speech of being, like, very direct. Like, being like, you know, didn't expect to go on a date with someone else and have feelings, but yeah, now I'm more into Becca, and like, this is simply, it is what it is, I'm breaking up with you, you know? And so I thought he did great in that scene, and you could see Tammy trying to, like, grasp at straws of, like, is there any way she can make the Thomas thing work? Although, I feel like we've talked about this on air before, but I'd mentioned, like, my last breakup. And my assumption is if somebody actually says to you, like, this is over, there is no point at grasping at straws at that point.
Right.
Because if they verbalize that, that means that they've thought about it enough to be like, you know what I mean? Like, if they've come to the conclusion and said it to you.
Yeah.
I don't know what you can pull out that actually changes somebody's mind in that situation. So even when she's saying, you know, like, you're my best friend, I thought this is a real thing, like, I had all these feelings. It's like, well, yeah, he's saying he feels bad about all of this and how it made you feel, but there's nothing you can say to him at that point that's going to make him stop liking Becca more, you know?
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought her up. EZR, let's talk about your least favorite person in Bachelor Nation, Becca. Oh.
But she's not my least favorite, although she did annoy me these couple episodes, because she keeps doing this, like, know-it-all, almost smothery thing, where I think it's the same thing that annoyed me during her season, but now it's pumped up to the nth degree, because now she's been the Bachelorette. She's been through all of it way more than anyone else on that beach. And here's my, this one really bothered me, although she did do this kind of thing a few times during the episode.
She deserves a good guy, and if he with her, he's gonna have to answer to all of us. If he with her, he's gonna need a doctor himself. Take and check yourself into your own hospital.
She's just so like in charge, you know?
Yeah.
What
bothers me about her is her posture. Because she has the posture.
What?
Her posture fits her how what you don't like about her. What you just described Tried, oh, like, wait, she's like,
what's her posture, I'm in charge. Craig?
Because she like keeps her shoulders and her head cocked in such a way that like she's the mother hen. She's gonna be like looking out for Natasha or whatever.
I can't say that I've noticed her posture very much.
I have not noticed her posture, but I do think that she is not. That attitude gets so annoying. And there is, if someone like Demi should have put her in her place saying, look, you were just the bachelorette because Tia couldn't be, or something. And then that would maybe shut her up. But she is being obnoxious. And I think that is what bothered me when she was the bachelorette, much like Katie, was that, look at all these guys here for me. You know, you're the bachelorette. They have a chance to be on TV. Relax. So, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Wait. So, I was gonna say, like, how do we compare Becca to Tammy? But I'm gonna lose that argument because you both are Tammy supporters.
I see a little bit of myself in Tammy in certain situations. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not stuff I would normally say out loud to people. But it's things I would mentally think to myself, you know, to be like, I fucked up so much. God. I mean, the point when she says this, I'm going to find the exact quote because I wrote it down. Oh, last year I got COVID on my birthday and this is 10 times worse.
Craig, you know me. If she did something egregious, I would rethink it, as someone like me does. Every little piece of evidence adds to my database, and I don't forgive and I don't forget. So if she did something that bothered me or that didn't align with what I think of her, I would reevaluate. But everything she's done makes a lot of sense to me, and I don't think I like her. I like the way she is.
What if she wasn't cute? Because that was one of your reasons
what I mean
for
by
liking her.
I don't mean her face is cute. I mean, she acts very, what's the word? Like, she just acts realistic, and she points out those things that happen, and she acknowledges them, and she just feels a lot more real than a lot of the other women.
And Caitlin, you agree?
I would say, like, I don't know, there's just something about her that's likable. There's some Bachelor franchise people where I cannot explain why I like them. Like, it's sort of how I feel about Aaron. I don't know why I have a soft spot for Aaron. He's like a goofball, I guess, you know? But part of me is like, oh, I do kind of root for Aaron a little bit, even though he's absolutely obsessed with Thomas. In other points, he can be charming and funny. Or like I really liked Noah on Tayshia's season, and I think very few people liked Noah on Tayshia's season. But like, similarly, it was like, I can't fully explain why I like this person, but there's just something about their like general vibe that appeals to me.
Who was fighting in the previews for next week? It was Ivan and was it Aaron?
No, I don't think, was it Aaron? I'm trying to remember
why
who Ivan was fighting.
What? Let's figure this out next week.
Yes, we'll talk about it next week. Ivan will get in a fight with somebody.
Because, if it's Aaron, it's just that he keeps getting into fights. It's not necessarily just Thomas.
That's very Aaron.
Yeah.
It is super Aaron to be like,
who did he give his rose to? I kind of missed that.
Aaron gave it to Chelsea, the model.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the runway model, like real model.
Oh, so it is Aaron then, because Ivan starts making out with the runway model, Chelsea.
Interesting.
In the previews for next week.
I don't want to know.
Well, you know now. But Caitlin, you must have watched the same previews as me.
Yes, I always watch the preview.
I'm surprised you missed that part.
No, I saw the fight, but I'm blanking out briefly on. But who? So Ivan gave Kendall his rose this week at the rose ceremony, which also seemed like it came out of nowhere to me.
Well, Kendall's just, what did Tammy call it? Rose fishing or?
Oh, rose chasing, I think.
Rose chasing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's Kendall for you.
It was like all of a sudden they were an item. And then at the very end of the episode, when like Serena and Joe are making out and spinning around and doing all this like romantic beach stuff in full view of everyone else, and Kendall's having a freak out about it. Ivan tries to kiss her, and she's like, she turns it down and says, you know, that PDA right now is basically too stressful and awkward for her. And then she walks off, and people are like, is she leaving the whole beach, or is she just like going up to the bedroom? And that's like kind of how they leave it. But yeah, I was kind of like, wait, why are she and Ivan suddenly making out? When did this happen?
Well, you know, Kendall, I think everyone needs to be reminded that Kendall and Joe, whenever they were on Bachelor in Paradise, left without each other and then actually dated off camera. People keep acting like this is where they fell in love. Like, they didn't leave the together, or however they want to put it. It's like very strange that they keep acting like that's the way it happened. You know, very traditionally, it did not. Okay. You guys want to talk about Tia and Blake?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed this aspect, although it did, of course, lead to James having his mini breakdown of being like, every time I couple up with a girl, they're gone the next day.
Yeah, and also proves our ongoing point that the more Christian Protestant you are, the more obsessed with sex you are.
Mm, interesting. Okay, so... I'm glad you brought that up.
I assume that's what you were going to talk about.
Yeah, I am, actually. So here is Tia and Blake kind of speaking on that.
Do you feel like you have just one soulmate? Or
no,
do you feel like... Okay.
Absolutely not.
I've recently, like, changed my mind on that.
Yeah,
I thought of all the people on the earth, I have, like, one soulmate that I'm supposed to meet. Could be on the other side of the earth, I don't know. But I honestly think there are so many people that can, like, check the main boxes, and then you just freaking make it work with them.
I agree. And I think it also depends on when you met that person. Like, if you and I met at 20, who's to say we would have any connection at
all? Yeah, we might hate each other.
Right? So I think it's totally based on, like, where you are in life.
So
I thought she was talking about Jesus there for a second, but
no. Do you two think, or did you ever believe soulmates were real?
No.
I didn't know what you were going to ask when I said no, but now that you've asked it, I'm still going to say no.
But you never did. Is that true? Is that a true statement?
I've been a nihilist, Craig? Probably all of my adult life. So how could I think that there were soulmates?
I don't know. In high school, I don't know. Exactly. So I think this is so interesting because the idea of soulmates is rooted in a divine being, humans being exceptional beings, right? And so atheists and agnostics use terminology like that as coded language to not refer to religion, but to refer to beings as divine or above animals. Especially in America, where if you don't have religion, you are kind of without a culture or without a background. So I found it so interesting that Tia, of all people, has kind of relented back, because she even said she was in a Bible study group, to not believing in soulmates anymore. We're guessing because she's been in a few relationships when she's had sex a few times. Right. So there's no more of that. And what you alluded to, kind of, Craig, is that religious people tend to marry young, tend to marry the first person that kind of makes
their
them
vagina
sexually
dance.
Attractive. Yeah, makes their vagina dance, makes they're sexually attracted to. Has little to do with soulmates. So I found it interesting that she doesn't believe in that. But then at the same time, talks about it, because religious people tend not to talk about it. It's a way for people who are born without a lot of religious background to root themselves in something that is like higher being talk.
What do I say about beliefs all the time?
About it. It doesn't... No, Craig, wasn't that fascinating, though, that she would say that? So she's kind of flip-flopping between both to me. which means that she's a religious person that was so fully put in the bachelor world, yet has kind of realized how things actually work, because we are just animals that are slightly sophisticated and meet one another in the street. And if it's the right place and the right time and you mate. It has very, I am so surprised.
I hope you use protection. Okay.
Yeah, Tia does say she was ovulating when they were making out. And that, you know, so if you could have a baby by anything other than the traditional way, she'd be pregnant right now. And I was like, so yeah, if you could have a baby by making out, Tia would be down for carrying a Blake Monar fetus.
Well, isn't that what the Protestants teach? Like, don't even make out? Like,
she was trying to say that she is so attracted to him that she is...
I should say the evangelicals, not the Protestants.
Yeah, yeah, that makes more sense.
That she was so attracted to him that it was very... It pulled out the like, let's make this happen right now, right? Not the sex, but the like togetherness.
I did laugh at like the vagina dance thing, which to me, so our, you know, Bachelor Masters super fan Jocelyn texted me about the phrase vagina dance. I was like, we need to discuss it. And I was like, I honestly didn't find it unusual at all, because it really reminds me of
Love Island.
UK Love Island, they say fanny flutters to me.
Right, like, yeah, you've brought that up before.
Yeah, so I was like, oh yeah, I just immediately equated it to being like, oh, that's fanny flutters, which he's experiencing right now. Like, yeah, I also enjoyed that she referred to him as Taddy Daddy repeatedly.
Ew.
And then when Gross. James is talking about it, he was like, well, I'm not Taddy Daddy, in like a sad voice.
Yeah,
the Bible says you're not supposed to get tattoos, although that's in the Old Testament, and it didn't Jesus reset all that.
That's hard now because so many like of those evangelical like super prophet kind of folks, they're like tattooed young hip people. That's their thing now. So I don't think most Christians are serious about the
tattooing business,
and she has tattoos. So
I think Jesus said all the Old Testament stuff doesn't count anymore, all the old rules. I think that's because people are constantly like, well, in Romans it said that you can't sit on the left side of the dinner table, and on Deuteronomy says you can't
at all.
Yeah, you can't jump up and down three times in a row. Well, all that got washed away when Jesus came. See, I think that's the justification. So there.
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but I think that was an interesting conversation you bring up, EZR, because when she brought up soulmates, I didn't even think about it in terms of being like an alternative to a specific religious belief. I thought about it more as the other part that you had mentioned, that I was like, oh yeah, a lot of evangelical Christians do believe like there is only one person for you and like God will guide you to that person. Right.
Yeah.
But that she's saying this now, I assume, because she's older, because she's dated multiple times, she's had sex with other people, she's fell in love multiple times now, which made her rethink it all to be like, well, if I felt love for this person, but then I felt love for another person, that means like there can't just be a single one, right?
Right.
And I thought that came more from a place of when you're not religious, but you do believe in a soulmate, coming out of the really like pop cultural stuff that says, you know, like true love exists and you find it. It's just one person for you, like that kind of thing, not necessarily a like alternative religious way.
I don't disagree, but there's a fair amount of wiggling that has to happen to wiggle your way through what your Bible study has been telling you and what you think have to tell yourself to go on a show like Bachelor in Paradise. Right.
Yeah. It all reminded me a lot of like, it's in some Sex and the City episode. I cannot remember what season or anything, which of course, you know, I obsessively watched in high school, where it's like Carrie breaks up with somebody. Maybe it's Big. I can't remember. She breaks up with one of the serious boyfriends.
I'll know if you just talk. And then
they get engaged like to somebody else immediately afterwards. And she says, you know, it's not about kind of, you know, finding the right person for men, that for men, it's like, they're like taxi cabs. When the light's on, it's on. Next person who gets in is who you marry. So basically it's like the moment they decide they're ready for commitment and settling down and maybe kids or whatever else, it's like whoever hops in next, that's the one I'm doing it with.
Oh, no, I don't remember that, but that makes sense.
Yeah. And I thought about that when Tia was talking too, because Blake came back with, you know, the whole thing about timing and how if you met somebody 10 years early or whatever, maybe you wouldn't even like them. Yeah. And I was like,
I like how he phrased it. He was like, if we met when we were 20, we would never find anything about each other that we liked. Like, whoa, settle down there.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you don't know what she was like when she was 20.
Yeah. In Wiener, Arkansas. In Wiener. Wiener. Do we have any Wiener, Arkansas music?
No, we don't.
Come on, please.
I don't. Oh, my God. Fine. Hold on. No, because we... I don't know. Generic romantic music. Best Intentions. I don't know where it is. Man. I thought I put it all away because we'll never see Hannah B. again. I forgot about Tia.
All right, play the Best Intentions clip.
You were saying something about Best Intentions?
Yeah, Best Intentions.
Okay.
You were saying something about it.
Was I?
I don't know. So according to the clip you were. All right, what else?
Can we take a moment to discuss Riley and Marissa's disgusting date?
Oh. Well, also in the previews for next week, Marissa goes on a date with another dude.
Yes. So there's going to be trouble in paradise for Riley, it seems. But yeah, this week, no trouble at all. She sets up. I also found this very funny because it's Becca asks, like, where are Riley and Marissa? And Noah responds, oh, she's got a freaky, nasty plan for him. She talked to me about it. And I just cracked up at the idea of Marissa going to Noah to being like, I got a freaky nasty plan about whipped cream and chocolate sauce, and Noah being like, cool, tell me about it. It's just like a funny moment in my head. But this is like, yeah, Marissa set up a section with a whipped cream, chocolate sauce, and strawberries, and then they had to like pick a body part out of a bowl, and we finally see the shot that they've shown in other previews of Marissa licking whipped cream off the bowl, which was just viscerally upsetting to me to witness.
After he's been walking around on the beach.
Yeah, and Wells says something about that too, where he's like on like a gross beach foot, you know, like there's sand on there. It's the whole thing, the sensory feelings that went through me when I saw this was horror and disgust. But it worked for them, apparently, because then they went to the Boom Boom Room in the middle of the cocktail party, but before the rose ceremony.
Yeah. Yeah. Got the job done.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just, oh. Listen, I've been seeing this a lot on things like Love Island, where they constantly have men come on there who are foot fetish people.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I'm like, can we stop giving TV time to foot fetish people? Because I simply don't want to see any foot play on my romantic TV shows. I don't want to see it. Like, no thanks. Mm. Not visually. Take that to a separate place where we don't have to see it or hear about it.
What is the Love Island equivalent of the Boom Boom Room?
Oh, The Hideaway.
Oh, The Hideaway.
Yes. Mm. But it's different. Because then, you know, on Paradise, they basically can just ask the producers to be like, we want to go in the Boom Boom Room. And the producers, I guess, verify if they're sober or not and then let them in.
Right.
In The Hideaway on Love Island, it's not always open. You can't just go ask for it. Like, they basically, on like special occasions, will be like, either like someone wins a night in The Hideaway in their couple because they want a challenge, or sometimes it'll be like, the Hideaway's open tonight. Fellow Islanders vote on, like, who gets to go in. You know?
Don't they, like, sleep together at night, though, and stuff?
They do, but they're all in one big room together. So it's, like, six queen-size beds with a couple. Oh,
sweet.
One.
Oh, it's like real world. That's awesome.
Yes. So, like, people definitely have sex in that big group room, and everyone else knows about it because you would hear. But they always do it under the covers, so there's no footage to actually show.
Hmm.
Oh, God, not always. In UK season two, some girl had an idea that spectacularly backfired, but in her head, she thought, if we remove the covers and we're straight up boning and I'm astride him on top, they can't show that on TV. And Love Island was like, oh, you think we can't show that on TV?
Yeah, this is UK television.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, oh, no, we're showing it. And then we're showing everybody talking about how bizarre they thought it was that you, like, stripped the covers off so that everyone else had to actually see what was going on instead of just, like, hearing it.
That's funny. Ezra, you're surprisingly quiet during this Love Island talk.
Oh, well, I haven't seen the newer seasons of the British one, but in the American one, this couple kept having sex in the big room because they couldn't, I guess they didn't have access to the smush room hideaway. So they kept doing that. And then someone accused someone else of, I don't know, it was just funny because then she goes, well, you keep having sex in the room. And I guess the couple didn't think anyone else knew, which is really weird. And he goes, you can't say that to me on national television. So I have hilarious American thoughts, but it's not relevant, except that I like that it was all very puritanical. You know, all of a sudden, oh, you can do it, but you can't talk about it. And no one can mention it. It's hilarious. Right.
Yeah, it is interesting that they would ever assume that their fellow islanders would not know that they were having sex, because even if you think everyone else is sleeping, like if you're making any kind of noise and somebody else is a light sleeper, you're literally right next to them, you know, like it's not rocket science. On the UK one, they will usually talk about what they did. Like the girls will go off together to be like, who hooked up last night? What base did you get to? Like that kind of stuff. And the guys will do the same thing. So they're like pretty open.
Man, this Love Island sounds pretty good.
Craig, we've been telling you. Start watching Love Island. Yeah, the latest UK season just ended recently for us. So, you know, you've got a lot of material to get through from the various. You got 7 seasons of UK. What is it? 2 or 3 American seasons? 2 Australian ones?
What streaming service is it on?
Oh my goodness. Hulu.
I think they're UK and US are both on Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
No, anymore. US is on Paramount.
Oh, it's on Paramount. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's one streaming service I'm never going to get.
I have that
Star
one.
Trek. Are you going to watch all the Star Treks?
I watched MTV's the first the season challenge. Of Discovery, which was pretty good. But then now they're like in the future or something. I'm like, no.
Wow. Okay.
Craig, Star Trek is always in the future.
Spoiler alert, they go from the 24th century to the 31st century.
Okay. For no reason. They're in the future now, so I don't like it. It's like, well, I hate to break it to you. All of the various iterations of Star Trek have taken place.
No, I'm a big Star Trek fan. I've been to a number of Star Trek conventions over the years.
Oh, and, I have just started watching. So I've seen episodes here and there of various iterations, but never done like a straight watch through before. Mm-hmm. So now I am straight watching through in order The Next Generation. And cool. I love it. Yeah. I love it so much.
That's the best one. I have all the dolls.
Yeah.
I have various versions of the dolls.
Deep Space Nine is more complex.
Look, we can't get into it now. Unless you want to. Unless you really want to. You want to.
I mean, Next Generation, it came from it was like serialized television didn't exist when Next Generation was around, but Deep Space Nine had the benefit of being able to serialize some of their episodes. So you get plots that
complex
go
stories, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But no, I just like Star Trek Picard really totally blew. So,
I haven't watched that one yet, and I kind of wanted to because I really love Picard in The Next Generation. Like, I mean, who doesn't love Picard?
TNG. Now that you watch it, you have to call it TNG.
TNG. Yes.
TS9.
Yeah, like Picard's one of my faves, obviously, because you know, Picard.
Yeah. Of course.
I like Worf. Anyway, go ahead, more.
Right, I like Picard. I like Data a lot, actually.
Oh, Data, he bothers me so much.
Data's great. And, well, one thing you're going to learn is that the the Star Trek TNG movies were really, really bad.
Yeah,
and they they ruin every character.
Except Nemesis. What about Nemesis?
Nemesis was awful. There's no way you're going to win this against me. Sorry. they suck, and I can go into an hour long Discord.
In retrospect,
no, they're awful, and they really mess with Data's character in the movies.
Yeah,
well, I don't like that.
We can't talk about what happened. No, spoilers.
The original series movies, the original series movies are really good.
The even ones are the best. Can we talk about anything else about Bachelor in Paradise?
I have a few fashion notes if we want to hit the fashion roundup.
Okay. Didn't see that coming.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't see that coming?
Because I thought they weren't wearing any clothes.
No, I mean, there wasn't a ton, but there were a few things I noted down. One in particular was Riley working out in his slippers.
Oh, so right.
The women say they're bunny slippers, but the women are wrong. They're koala slippers because they show close up. They're koalas. It is an interesting choice of workout attire. He's on the beach and he's wearing the koala slippers and it looked like just boxers. So he went like straight from the bedroom to the beach workout, I guess, without like putting on gym clothes.
Right.
So yeah, interesting choice. I don't know if just I would have wanted to get my... Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to get my like little slippies all sandy, you know? Mm-hmm. So it struck me as odd.
Did you know in England they say slippy, whereas here we say slippery?
Oh, like the floor is slippy?
Oh, yeah, like born exactly. Slippy. That's where that comes from. You know that. You should know, Craig. You like that kind of oons, oons music, whatever. What is that? What is that? What's Born Slippy? It's like a born song from Slippy? It's like a song from Trainspotting. Craig. Okay. Oh, anyway, I think it's Underworld. Underworld. Whatever. Anyways, that's what that means.
I mean,
years,
Ints music, but I don't like brand name Ints music.
Yeah, I know. You like generic, drug fueled end of the night, gross, gross, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. Anyway.
Find Demi.
It is Underworld.
The lights come on.
So there's an outfit that Brendan wears. It's his last outfit on Paradise because it's what he's wearing when he's confronted. And then they decide to walk out a few moments later. It's a very Boston guy outfit, I have to say. So he's wearing, it's a black and white stripe button down, black, like kind of skinny jeans, it looks like, and possibly square toe loafers. Ugh. Couldn't get a great look on the loafers. They were not pointy, for sure. They did not look rounded, which leads me to believe that they were squared off toe loafers, and Boston guys love a square toe loafer. They love it. So that made me be like, oh, Brendan, you put on the worst shoe, the least attractive shoe possible. He was going home.
Yeah. Seeing guys fight is huge. And we've talked about this before, Greg. Craig.
Greg.
I'm amazed that Piper still likes him after. Well, Piper kind of sat back innocently, even though she's not that innocent.
She looked pretty pissed in the car.
She did look pissed.
But they went in the same car, so that's a plus.
I mean, the tabloids, etc., seem to make, like, it looks like they're still together. So
Piper of course. Did not lose any followers. Of course followers.
It's the same reason.
Brandon did.
There's, yeah. When you have a common enemy, you're going to stay together. And now they help, now her and
Brandon.
Well, Alana
Brendan... and Chris did. And they didn't, obviously, did not like each other. She... I thought it was... when I see... Brendan did not look, he looked ganged up on, and I think that's a really unattractive look for a man, even if
to look ganged up on. Probably.
Yes, it's emasculating, right?
Yeah.
And I think the way
he was emasculating,
walked away would also seem unattractive to me, because it was like, it wasn't even going the worst it could go for him, that kind of argument, you know, but he just stands up and is like, I'm done with this. You can continue to talk about it, but like, I'm done. And that was sort of rude to Marissa for being like, do you mean you're leaving Paradise, or you're just like leaving the conversation? And so that would make me less attracted to him if I was dating him. But somebody who would have the conversations that Piper has mic'd up and on camera on the beach does not strike me as the kind of person who would be turned off by Brendan's moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very, she almost reverted to a protector state. Like, she was being protected by Brendan, the protector. And that was, as if I was Brendan in that case, I would be very unattracted to her. I'd be like, excuse me, you're in this too, help, you know? So it works both ways. I thought they both acted horribly, as we all know. But the same thing, Brendan did the same thing he did last week, where he felt cornered and he started lashing out to Piper as kind of a verbal vomit. You know, he's like, she is mad at me because of this. She's mad at me because of this. And yeah, again, those are human. The thing I would never do is go on a show where they ask you to be single and you aren't. But then once you're there and you're cornered, I would definitely lash out and call them all out on whatever I could reach for. So that's why last week you guys said, oh, I wouldn't do the second thing. I'm like, well, I would totally do the second thing once I did not do the first thing. You know, so he did it again. But to me, I feel like that's the more normal thing, because he was attacked. I mean, a literal mob walked up to him and was like, explain yourself. So I don't know.
Yes. As Brendan says, it's, you know, Joe and his mob of, what do you say, disgruntled women?
Females.
Disgruntled females. Even worse. Oof, very oof. Ferengi of him.
Why would you mention the Ferengis?
No. Yeah, I don't. So what was confusing to me the most, I think, about all of this is they start out this episode, and like one of the very first scenes is Brendan talking to Thomas, and he says that he knows they're coming for him, right? That he was like, people are going to realize that we got off too easy after the Chris and Jesenia blow up. They're coming for me. So he knows a confrontation is about to happen. They've never made their story straight before. They don't bother to prepare for this in any way either. And then act surprised that it's happening, even though he admitted previously that he like knew it was almost certainly going to happen. Oh. And then they do their like dumb posts on social media last week. And I'm like, how did you not realize you're going to be edited like villains when you know how you left the beach, which is together after people like yelled at you?
He rested on like his broship laurels. You know, he was, I mean, in the moment on the beach. And now I think he was just hiding under covers waiting for the storm, because I don't know how you act the way you act on social media until your episode comes out where you look horrible.
Well, he had posted that like here for the wrong reasons pick the day that his bad episode was going to start airing. And I'm like, yeah, I guess you don't know which episode it's going to be in, but it hasn't happened yet. So, you know, it must be coming up pretty soon. I don't know why you would feed into that fire and then seemingly be surprised that people are like, oh, you're just as villainous as portrayed on TV. This like reinforces it. And it's like, it just keep on coming back to being like, these two are so stupid. Even though Piper makes a point of saying she has a master's in like communications, but yeah, she marketing. Can't figure out marketing, right? But she can't figure out not to say the things that she says like on camera, on mic, or posts about on Instagram. So like, what did you learn in those classes, Piper?
Well, the worst part is she is the unrelenting one. I feel even Chris's apology, which is an apology with a but, which is not okay, was at least an apology. She does not. She's kind of has a sorry you saw that, sorry you're hurt thing. Or I love everyone, relax everybody, sorry, you know, that kind of sorry. So I am very interested in that she's the only one even after all this, she comes out looking, I don't know, there. Why doesn't she just have any self-awareness after all that? It's strange.
Yeah, it's very puzzling to me. And she says at one point to Brendan in that conversation the two of them have after the Joe and the mob situation, where she says she didn't even want to come on Paradise, which makes it sound like it was Brendan's idea to do it. But I don't feel like Brendan could actually mastermind this.
No, it was them. it was them talking each other into it. And then they did because they knew how lucrative it is to be on TV again. And yeah. Then she's like, I didn't even want to do this. That's what that's kind of the part of where she's reverting to child protect me status that bothered me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was like, a little.
If your job is marketing and that's what you went to school for, you should know how to do like an effective social media calendar. You should know what things to never say when you're on a television show out loud. And you should have known to get your story straight with Brendan before you came on, and to like, I mean, they weren't hiding that they were dating beforehand. Like, they thought they were that Us Weekly story, et cetera. Like, it was in paparazzi stuff. So you were going to have to come up with a story that makes it sound like you weren't doing the thing that everyone else on the beach hated, which was, you know, you were already dating and you just came in to get on TV and you weren't going to look at anybody else, et cetera. I'm disappointed in them. I am not. I feel like a parent where I'm like, I'm disappointed in you. If you were going to do this, you should have planned it out a lot better.
Oh, well, I mean, I didn't have any faith in them to begin with. So, you know, they're not favorites of mine. They were actually Brendan. I thought he was very attractive.
Like him on Tayshia, because he's just handsome.
Yeah. So, I remember liking him from the picture, like the before we even saw him on screen. But unrelated, they thought they were smarter than the producers. And that's it. You know, they're not.
Yeah. There's a whole team of folks who've been doing this for years. You can't outsmart them.
Really quick side note, because now it got me thinking. I don't know why this keeps popping up for me. Not just on my feed, but like in my brain, but in my pop culture brain, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox are dating, right? And she hasn't been relevant in 10 plus years. And it's only because she started dating this guy that she's relevant again. But he got in a fight with a boxer. And despite all her, and speaking of people who say things like soulmates and twin flames and all this stuff, she said that. And it's so funny to me that I would be, this guy has always bugged me. He has a wiener appearance to me, except that he tries to cover it up with the tattoo thing. It's all very related to Bachelor in Paradise, this episode.
A wiener Arkansas appearance?
No, like a wiener mobile type. Like he's just
a wiener mobile.
Yeah, he just seems dorky, but he pretends to be tough, and I don't know. I just don't like him.
That Machine is Gun how Kelly. Like dorky guys try to cover it up. A certain type of dorky guy is like just a ton of tattoos, especially like neck tattoos.
Yeah,
to be like I'm hard. I'm a hard boy who like I'm so tough. Look at this tattoo on my neck and knuckles.
Yeah, he is cringy to me, and I feel, you know, Megan Fox is so interesting because she's one of the few people, I haven't really said this out loud, so it's not like I talk about her all the time. I never do. I just thought it was so interesting that she's one of the few people that was, when she came out, she was like the babe, right? Super, super famous. And every guy was like in love with her. She was one of those weird moments in time where she was so hot, but she chose a man that was kind of like outdated, passe. And she was like, I don't care. I love him. Even if my career's over, by career, I'm picking this guy. And I thought that was like, whoa, that is amazing to me whenever certain women do that. Huh. And it always, another person who did that around the same time was Jessica Alba. I don't know if you guys remember. She like married a cameraman.
She's on the cover of People magazine this week.
Oh, well, oh. I haven't gone to the grocery store this week. But I just think that she is a really good instinct follower, Megan Fox. So I am surprised she would date this Wienermobile. Anyways, that's all my connection to Bachelor in Paradise. But I just, it seems to me that when you see a guy get in a fight, back to Brendan and Piper, it shows you a lot about that guy. And it can either be very attractive or very, very switch turned off, unattractive. Yes. Right. And with the Brendan thing, it was not a switch turned off for her. With Alana and Chris, it was. I was kind of, that was a very interesting moment. Cause yeah, same thing. Piper reverting to protect me thing. Anyways. Okay. On to fashion.
I think those were the only fashion notes I wrote down was Brendan's square loafer look. And, so it's a shoe centric one with Riley's slippers. And I didn't really notice any other, there was not a lot of interesting clothes on this one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it then.
Okay.
a reminder to everyone, make sure to take your antidepressant medications as prescribed by a medical professional.
Yeah, it's always a good idea.
I feel fine. I don't...
Yeah, I just upped my dosage, so.
Ooh. All right. Good for you.
My goodness. No, guys. Sunlight. La, la, la. Run around. Something. Okay. Go ahead.
Follow us on social media. Do you want to say it?
No. I just was going to say it because you weren't saying it. Keep going.
At Bachelor Masters. I had some good tweets last night during the live tweeting.
Did you?
I did.
All right, I'm going to go look. I haven't been on Twitter in like 2 days.
Nah.
Yeah, I had some good tweets.
Because
thanks for noticing.
We haven't been on Twitter.
I don't have a Twitter, so it's hard for me. Right now, Craig. I haven't been spending a lot of time on Twitter.
And then
name us your best tweet. Say your best, paraphrase your best tweet.
I don't know. I took a picture of the TV when Piper and Brendan were in the car looking all horrible. And I tweeted that. And I said like something witty.
I'm going right now to look on my computer. Hang on.
The computer
pops out immediately.
Oh, these two are defiantly. Did you mean definitely?
Or no, defiantly.
Defiantly in love with each other. Oh, yeah, these facial expressions are. Brendan's mouth is open. I like Cheyenne Constant has, quote, tweeted this one and says, did they tell them this would ruin their shot at being on Dancing with the Stars?
Right.
And, yeah, I don't see either of them getting the call anytime soon for that. So, good point. I also tweeted... I'm exciting for the future possibility of making money.
Yes, I'll tweet quotes. Yeah, and she was like, I'm excited about the future possibility of making money. I'll just tweet things in quotes.
She did say that, which was a very funny thing to say.
Yeah. Why? Because she was saying it. I don't understand why you quote that. Why?
Because it's funny. I don't know.
Oh, because it's funny. Okay, bye. Okay,
jeez.
Well,
you're like the confused. Twitter police tonight.
Twitter police? Really? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're like the Twitter police tonight.
I don't understand. I just want to know why you.
You got to get on antidepressants, and then everything's a lot funnier.
It's true, because you're just so much, you know, you're happy all the time, I guess, now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You're like, everything's so much funnier to me.
Oh, well, I am happy all the time, but I'm trying to find the actual humor in it.
Okay. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app if you have a second, and we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.